Doesn't that feel wonderful? Aren't you vibrating differently now? We could go home right now and be complete. But I did work on this talk, so I guess. And I'm having so much fun rediscovering the book, The Third Jesus by Deepak Chopra, that we did a book study on a number of years back. It was hard to believe in 2009 when I went to look up, it just was a few years ago. Time flies, doesn't it? But things that hold spiritual wisdom continue to shine and to bless us. And so today I gave you another handout. You'll get one more in 2 weeks from this book, some of the wisdom from this book. And one of the things that I seek to do on Sundays is to give you a talk that inspires you but gives you pieces you can integrate in your life in the coming week. When Unity began, it was called Practical Spirituality. It was meant to be used, practical Christianity, not just theoretical, but how do we live it? And so I've given you some of my notes, and so you don't have to try. I've had a lot of people trying to take notes when I do lists. You can just listen and then take this home and let this be a guide and inspiration in the coming weeks, because I'm a firm believer in sharing the blessings. Albert Einstein was asked if he was influenced by Christianity. He said, "I'm a Jew, but I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene." Isn't that wonderful? I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. Luminous, of all the words he could have picked. Luminous, light, enlightenment. And ask if he believed that the real man Jesus actually existed. He said, "Unquestionably, no one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." The quantum physics of Einstein. Einstein was amazing the way he blended spirituality and science. He would say that his moments of inspiration were truly that. They were luminous moments where he'd been processing a problem and then wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, "Oh, that's it." Another time he was walking beside a lake on a beautiful day and he saw the mountain reflected in the water of the lake, and he had this huge aha of reality, being physical and yet energetic. He was open to receiving inspiration. And I love the fact that the man Jesus was someone that intrigued and enthralled him, because the same has been true all of my life. Even when I wasn't quite sure and I knew that the things some people were telling me didn't resonate with the man that I was encountering when I read scripture and heard stories. The third Jesus in Deepak Chopra's book is the cosmic Christ. The first is the historical man with his teachings, with his living example that's been preserved as best humanity could preserve it over time. The second one is Jesus, the Son of God, that's the institutional Jesus that comes with him all kinds of doctrines and dogmas that put him in the box. And then the cosmic Christ is that divine energy that I believe he was trying to teach us about at the time, and that now the quantum physicist, starting with Einstein, really got. That spirit and science are all talking about this transcendent and yet embodied reality that we call the divine. Jesus' presence has been played with for thousands of years now. He goes into five different general ways that people look at Jesus. The first is literal. That's what I encountered as a child in Texas. It's in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not true. The revelation ceased when Jesus died. The only place you can go to find him is in the scripture. The other one is the rationalist who say, there is no way any of that could possibly be true. It's gone through all these translations. It went from an oral to a written form. It's been translated over and over again. We had Constantinople forward with all different kinds of councils and decisions on doctrine that changed how it was written. There is no way we can have any sense of who Jesus was. Sound like extremes? Sounds like what you see on television sometimes? The mystical argument said that he was never physical. He was only spiritual. Never was really embodied. That was just an illusion. That he was only of spirit, which meant he was unique and distinct and really not like us at all. Another one that goes on the opposite end of he was just spirit was that not only was he not spirit, he never existed at all. The whole thing is a made-up myth and story. Do those sound like things you've heard over the course of your life? And then he comes up with the fifth one, which is a conscious connection with the man Jesus and with the Christ energy. And it exists within our own awareness. It was embodied in our world in a living spiritual master that we can follow and connect with and trust, but one who experienced the world like we do, but with deeper spiritual understanding. He was able to stand at that portal we were at this morning in meditation and be in the world, but not of the world. Able to be fully embodied and yet at the same time see it with a higher vision. And I love that because that is someone that I can connect with because I know they're coming from a place of empathy and experience of what it's like to do a soul journey in this realm. When I first found Unity, they said Jesus was the man who lived on this earth and whose life is recorded to the best of our ability. Christ is the divine spark that abided at the core of his being, that he reminded us we all have too. He never once said, I'm the light and you're not. He said just the opposite. I came from the light. We share the same divine Father, our Father, not my Father, and you are the light of the world, not just me. And so I've always loved that before going through the Easter experience and up through ascension, he was Jesus Christ, the man first and the Christ energy within, abiding together in this world. After he ascends, in classic scripture, it changes and he becomes Christ Jesus. And I love that, but because it's saying that he's now in spirit and he's leading with that cosmic, universal, divine energy, but he has not forgotten his humanity, our humanity. And so it gives us a companion on this path of life that we can trust and share with. I love it. He says in this book that Jesus is a lot like Buddha in a lot of ways. Buddha said, "Whoever sees me sees the teaching." He said Jesus was the same way. Whoever sees me sees the teachings. Not look at the institution, the dogma, look at me. Experience the life that I had and still have, because we are all eternal souls. Deepak Chopra says, Jesus opened a path to enlightenment that is still viable today. I put this on here for you all. From his teachings, we learn how to create a shift in our own awareness. Jesus asks us for a personal transformation. God consciousness is something you can work toward today. It's not something experienced once. It's something meant to be experienced always. In Matthew 6, 33, 34, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to you as well. Seek ye first, and not seek out here, seek in here. Seek the kingdom of God, the presence of the divine, and his righteousness, and this beyond outer appearance way of perceiving and thinking. Connect with that presence and let it change your perspective. Let it transform how you're interpreting yourself and what's going on in your life and in our world. And then everything else will be added. And then he does the beautiful passage of don't worry. I take care of the lilies of the field, the ravens, I take care of everything, so don't worry. I think about that song that was so popular, don't worry, be happy. Remember that one? Great spiritual truth in that. And I love that because at one point it says, does worrying add 1 minute to your life? Feels like it sometimes, but it doesn't. It's about living in that presence and being in the present moment. I remember when I first got to Al-Anon, and they talked about if you go into past, you tend to go into anger and resentment. If you go into the future, you tend to go into fear. If you can focus on being in the present moment with the presence of the divine, that's where you find that peace. All of those other times exist simultaneously, but if we can settle in to the present moment, and I gave you on the list some of the qualities that being present in the present moment will bring to you. Alertness and feeling more awake, more possibilities. Openness, free from expectations. I'd sign up for it just for that. Freshness, don't be overshadowed by the past. Innocence, don't judge by what's happened before. The presence of the divine is with you in this moment, co-creating it. Be spontaneous. They say if you can just be spontaneous and curious, you'll be walking a spiritual life. That and being in gratitude are the two most powerful tools. Fearlessness, that's not just about letting go of the limitations that past traumas have given you. It's saying, I'm not afraid about what's yet to come. I am in this moment and all is well. I love our all shall be well chant. When I don't start feeling all of these things, all shall be well chanted helps me every single time. And then replenishing. It lets us replenish our soul well, that well of living water. And so by being in the presence of the divine and in the present moment, like we did when we went into meditation, we open ourselves to the path of the Master Jesus and the Buddha and all of the great spiritual teachers. Deepak Chopra said, "The salvation Jesus offered was the same as Buddha's, release from suffering and a path to spiritual freedom, joy, and closeness to God. In that light, the real Jesus is as available today as he ever was, perhaps more so. Instead of relying on faith alone, we can go beyond worship to find a body of teachings consistent with the world's wisdom traditions, the golden thread, a corroboration in Christian terms that our higher consciousness is real and open to all." When I first started really in earnest looking at different spiritual paths and their prayers and their traditions and their wisdom, I had someone say, "How can you be a Christian and do that?" And I was like, how could I not? The spiritual truth comes in many forms, in the way that will touch us where we are in our lives and in the tradition in which we chose to incarnate and be present in this world. That divine presence always meets us. And one of my favorite books that really reinforces this is Thich Nhat Hanh's Living Buddha, Living Christ, which we actually also did a series of in I can't remember what year, just yesterday. Thich Nhat Hanh says this, "Our true home is in the present moment." Think about that. Our true home is in the present moment. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment. Peace is all around us, in the world as in and in nature, within us, our bodies and our spirits. It's not a matter of faith, it's a matter of practice. Practice, doing it. And so I gave you a list. How to practice the path and that process of being in the presence of the divine that Deepak Chopra shares with us in this book. These are the things that you can do, particularly if you're in a time of challenge or if you're in a time where you really want to grow spiritually into a deeper understanding and a deeper sense of peace, a deeper connection with your soul journey. I believe that each one of us, before we are born, make a commitment with the divine as to what we're going to share in this world, giving and receiving, what we're coming to learn and to experience, not only for the benefit of our own soul growth, but for the collective good as well. They say that this little crease right above our mouth is where an angel kissed each one of us just before we dropped into earthly embodiment from the realm of spirit. It's a seal and a kiss of love, right where we get to kiss each other. And so that soul calling that you have, most of us, you can really go back into childhood and feel an essence of it. It may have been embraced or not. But there is, for me, I remember talking to my brother who could not physically talk or walk or feed himself, but having a soul conversation that he was my spiritual master and he was initiating me this time on a life of service. And I said, "I'm not ready, don't leave me." And I was only 2 and a half, and by the time I was 3, he was no longer living in the same house as I was. That remembrance while I was in ministerial school. I always knew I had this calling, but that was when I really got it. And now I understand why as a child I'd go out and bless the daddy long legs that lived in the tree in the backyard, why I got my first Edgar Cayce book when I was 11. This was the spiritual path. That's why I went with friends to every possible spiritual tradition, classic or new, so that I could find this presence in everything. If you look back on your life, whatever it is you do, think about and see how that seed was there from the beginning. It may have been music, it may have been organization, it may have been healing, it may have been simply being present with people. Whatever it was, you came in with it. And it is your gift to the world. So to help you do that, number one, remember to always go inward. 2 years ago, we did a wonderful book that was about Celtic spiritual practices. And the first one was the importance of portals. In the meditation today, we stood at a portal. A portal is a doorway. It's a shift from where you were into a new space. It's a marker. And when you go inward and go into that inner portal, you can find peace and you can find the presence and let all of this fade away. And then epiphanies will come and meet you. New insights, ahas will come. Number two, follow the trail of spiritual clues. Notice that there's that wonderful passage that I spoke of recently, have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. All along the way are little markers. It may be a book that opens up to just the right passage. It may be you turn on the radio to the song you need exactly to hear in that moment. It may be someone you haven't seen in years that you look up at the co-op and there they are. It's the synchronicities, and it's noticing those little things that remind you how you're woven into the very web of life. And seeing those synchronicities, also be ready to pay attention to soul guidance. When your soul guides you in a particular direction, be willing to listen and to do it. To this day, there are times I'm out driving and I normally will go this way and something says go that way. I have no idea why. I know of two instances where I literally was saved from being in the midst of what was a huge car crash because I listened to that. I have no idea. I just trust and I say, okay, I'll go that way. And when you do little things like that, it gets more comfortable to follow that soul guidance. And the thing about soul guidance, people say, is that really soul guidance or is that ego or something else? Soul guidance is usually very brief. It's very clear. And it frequently has a little bit of a sense of humor to it. If it's a long dissertation of what you should do or not do, it's ego. We all know the difference when that little voice comes through with clarity. Pay attention, because that's a higher viewpoint that sees where you are on the path of life and is helping you see where to put your next footstep. Number four is seek your own essence. That's that soul unfolding, the unique spark of God that you are. Be true to that. And when you're not true to it, I know we all get this feeling of discomfort. Doesn't feel right. When I was asked to be minister here, we were in Texas and we were trying to figure out how to make it work. And I actually had to tell Dave DePreet, I don't know how we can make it work. I'm afraid I'm going to have to say no. And it just rendered my heart and soul in half. because I adored my beloved Lane, and I already adored all of you, even though I just met you. And I knew they both needed to exist, and I couldn't figure out how. And Dave went to the annual meeting, and they said, be creative, figure out a way to make it work. Lane came in, took one look at my face, and said, let's get creative and see if we can make it work. In that moment, I knew what it felt like to not trust my own essence 100%. And I don't ever want to feel that again. And I'm blessed to have a partner who saw the look on my face and realized. And that was such a gift, because it reminds me how important it is, and even the small decisions, to try and follow who and what you truly are. Find the presence of God in the midst of everything. Sometimes it's a tiny spark. You're in the midst of a huge health challenge, and it's someone who simply puts their hand on your shoulder without speaking a word. That presence of the divine is always with us, so be willing to notice it right where you are in a given moment. It is always there. I, as a nurse, as well as a hospital chaplain, have been in places where most people would say there is no presence of God in this room. There is just grief and horror. Not true. The presence of God is always there in the midst of life. 6, remove obstacles and inner resistance. The ego goes back and forth. The soul is constant. And I love it because in this book, he talks about how the soul is not here to destroy the ego, to harm it. I believe totally, as he says in this book, it's meant to heal it into wholeness. Your ego is a divine construct as well. If you say everything is of God, I was going through a process years ago, and the counselor I was seeing and my Al-Anon sponsor said, those coping mechanisms you used, those resistances you had, all of those things, those ego pieces, are what kept you alive to this moment where you can begin to look at things from a higher perspective, where you can make new and different choices. And so it's about loving and accepting and transforming our ego and honoring and expressing our soul and letting them become more one than ever before. Embodied spirituality. And finally, change your allegiance from ego to soul, from outer appearances to your own inner truth. From not being caught up in the drama of the world, and heaven knows we have a lot of that right now, a lot of division in our country. They're already talking about the next election. We have wars and other conflicts arising right now. We're having major weather events all around the world as the earth responds to our lack of loving stewardship. All of those things are out here, but they're there to call us into being the presence in the midst of them. If you weren't meant to be in this world, you would already have checked out, gotten your wings, and be in another realm now. You're here because you're called to be, because your soul has been called to this time, because your blessings can make the world a better place. Whether you see it on the news or not, know that no prayer, no spiritual kindness is ever wasted. It makes a difference in the world always. Thich Nhat Hanh, in Living Buddha, Living Christ, says the most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. Our presence. And so our true home is in the present moment. It's a matter of practice. And the most precious gift we can offer is our presence. And so take these notes and let the qualities of being in the presence, some of the steps you can take on the path to being in the presence, inspire you in this coming week. Because knowing you as I know all of you, the greatest gift you offer to me is your presence with whatever it brings. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine, we know that in you we live, we move, we have our being. Let us do so with a renewed awareness that we are on a path of spirit, that there is a path for enlightenment that meets us right where we are and invites us to grow in insights and understanding, in words and deeds, in prayer and in consciousness. Let us be willing to always seek first the kingdom of the divine with its grace and its love, knowing that all else will be added unto it, and that as that happens, there is no need to worry, and that the most precious gift we can offer is simply our willingness to be present and to be the presence of the divine. Oh, for everyone's commitment to this spiritual path, we are all so grateful. For the fact that we get to share it with one another, we are so grateful. And so together we celebrate this with thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.